We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Show to Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Ray Dittinger in studio. Hey, time's yours at 1:45. Get the calls into the time's yours line and certainly react to anything. Anything in life, sports, or otherwise. Our show, whatever you want to react to. Time's yours, 215-625-6550. Best of the best calls make the air at 1:45 today. Ray Dittinger in studio with us. All right, Ray, Eagles' best draft pick of all time, worst draft pick. Factor in all factors. What are they?
Let me give you the best first.
Sure.
Harold Carmichael.
What round was it?
Seventh round.
That's a great pick.
Seventh round out of Southern. Wound up playing 13 years. Set the club record for receptions, 589. Set the club record for receiving yards, 8,900. Set the club record for touchdowns with 79. And played 13 seasons and 162 consecutive games. That's remarkable production out of a seventh-round draft choice.
Better than John Madden for the Eagles.
Oh, boy. Yeah, better than John Madden. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. I think he was a 20th-round pick or something.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know. John Madden drafted by the Eagles. All right, Ray, the worst Eagles draft pick of all time. Who is it?
Kevin Allen.
Yeah, that was bad.
Kevin Allen, offensive tackle from Indiana.
85?
Yeah. And that's the that's the danger of going into a draft and saying our first pick has to be an offensive tackle. You know, locking yourself into one position, we're going to take an offensive tackle with the first pick, even if he's not worth it. And that was a year when there were a couple good offensive tackles. They all went early. And the Eagles come up, and they're determined to take an offensive tackle, and they wound up taking Kevin Allen, who probably should have been a fifth-round draft choice. And they took him first, and he was just terrible. They started him in the opener up at the Meadowlands against the Giants, lined him up against Lawrence Taylor.
Oh,
how do you think that went?
Yeah.
Poor Jaworski barely survived the game. And then he only played the 1 year, never got any better, never showed any signs of getting better, and then was arrested in the offseason, yeah. Sent to prison, and never played again.
There have been some big busts. Bernard Williams was a bust 1 year and done.
Yeah. You know what? Bernard Williams would have been a good player.
But the other stuff got in the way.
But, yeah. I mean, he came in and he started at left tackle right away.
Right.
And absolutely looked like he was comfortable playing in the NFL. He had the ability to be a good offensive lineman, but he couldn't stay straight.
Danny Watkins.
Yeah. John Harris.
John Harris. Yeah. Michael Haddix,
yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Michael Haddix. I mean, the 83 draft, I mean, the great quarterback draft, the Eagles had the seventh pick, and they drafted Michael Haddix.
Yep.
So, I mean, that happens.
God, they could have drafted Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Holy hell, 1983.
Yep. Yeah.
Ooh. Jerome McDougal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. I when I was working at NFL Films, I was going through some old footage out of our vault, stuff that had never been on the air. I was putting a show together about the Vet Stadium. It was a look back at Vet Stadium. So I was going back through all the stuff that we had ever shot at Vet Stadium that had never made air, looking if I could find anything new and kind of interesting. And I came upon the can of the first game ever played at the Vet, which was an exhibition game against the Buffalo Bills. And it was August of 71. And our cameraman was on the Buffalo sidelines. And he's on the sidelines and he's shooting O.J. And so O.J.'s there watching the game. He's out of the game now. The starters have all been benched, so it's the second half, so all the rookies are playing. So O.J.'s just standing there watching the game. And he says to the grounds crew, the chain gang guy who's standing near him, he said, who's that big rookie? And the guy says, who are you talking about? He said, the big rookie, number 17. And the guy says, oh, that's Carmichael. And he says, what? Carmichael, huh? So where is he from? And the guy says he's from Southern. He says, Southern? Hmm. He says, what round they draft him in? And meanwhile, Carmichael's like catching passes all over the place. So he says, so what round they draft him in? And the guy says, seventh. And OJ's eyes pop. And he says, seventh round? And he turns around to the guy who's standing next to him, who was J.D. Hill, a pretty good receiver in his own right. And he says, you believe that? Ain't that a trip? These guys got all them stopwatches and computers, and look at this guy. He's a seventh-round draft choice. So I found this thing, and I thought it was so great.
That's awesome.
That I got it dubbed off on a disc, and I gave it to Harold. That's so just so that he could keep that.
That's really, because that's OJ in his prime. You know? That's OJ.
No, that was prime OJ back then.
That's really cool, man. Let's go back to the phones. 888-729-9494. The draft is tomorrow. The Sixers' dominance is for the next 10 years. Let's go to Joe in Sewell, New Jersey. Joe, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Yo, Ray, you are the best, man. Thank you for coming on the show still.
Happy to do it. It's always a pleasure to come in here and sit in with these guys. I look forward to it every week.
Yeah, you bring a bit of class to that, Mr. Joe.
What the hell, man?
So true.
Boy, they're beating up on you today, aren't they?
Yeah.
You think a guy would get a break a day from his birthday, right?
I don't know. It's not your birthday yet. Tomorrow. Right.
So am I going to get a break tomorrow? Everyone's going to...
Yeah, maybe. But I want to talk about, like, you guys talking about Brett Brown.
Yeah.
And the reality of this man is unbelievable. I mean, he gives a coaching clinic for the high school coaches in the area for free every year to teach them the love of basketball and to coach better. But it's the discipline. You seen last night how he got these young kids getting smacked and punched and clotheslined, and yet they didn't retaliate. I mean, just held their composure and smiled, man.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I thought it was, you know what, Joe, it's a great observation.
That is a good point.
Because the bottom line is these guys got to be not suspended for game one of the next series, and they showed great restraint. And I agree with you. Now, at some point, let me be really clear here. At some point, if stuff like that continues, you need a 12th guy on the bench to go in there and take care of some business.
Well, I think we got Justin Anderson
who could fill that role.
He's the beast.
Yeah, someone at some point has to do a little something. But
I can't believe that they didn't inject, you know, Johnson at the end. I mean, that was such a blatant clothesline, and the smack Redick on top of it.
Yeah,
you know,
I completely.
I'm sorry, Bellinelli. Yeah,
I know.
It was awful, and it's very easy to do that and make it look like it was unintentional. It was so intentional.
They did it all.
Oh
serious.
My god! And he's a karate.
Yeah.
No, he knew exactly what he was doing. He could have choked him out and tore up his esophagus in a second.
Yeah, I mean, listen, between the play on Ben, the play on Ben when he was undercut, the play when the one guy swiped at Ben, when Dragic swiped at Ben,
and then
what you're talking about near the stands where the guy knocks out two Sixers like they're bowling pins.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's a joke. All right, Joe, best movie quote of all time. What is it?
This one, I grew up with my dad, and these were the best. Bond, James Bond.
Ooh, interesting.
Those movies were, you know, and back then you had one TV and you had to watch what Dad watched. And I loved that these movies came on TV and you got to hang with your pop.
Yeah. That's a great line.
I like it, Joe. It's
iconic.
Really good. And short and to the point. Bond.
Movies
James
that you
Bond.
Have not
All right,
seen,
Ray, we need a ruling from you.
Joe.
Oh, I haven't seen it. I need to say it.
Somebody told me that. You've never seen a James Bond movie.
Bond or Wayne.
That's hard. Joe, that is just hard for me to fathom.
Bond and Wayne.
How could you have not ever seen a James Bond or a John Wayne movie?
Because he's watching The West Wing.
Even by accident
at one point, right? Exactly.
Well,
one night just lying in bed, just flipping around the dial. You got to come across one.
Go over
to
a friend's house. It's like, oh, I'm watching a Bond movie.
Yeah. No. Me and my friends don't get together to watch Bond movies. I don't know about you, Seltzer.
I have a question for you guys about the Ben Simmons thing.
Yeah.
When Ben hopped up after being undercut and landing, I mean, right on his scapulae, you know, on the hard floor from, you know, 6 feet up and bounced up, got back. I thought, man, you know, had he stayed down, there would have been more heck to pay. B, if he's not a rookie, he doesn't do that, you know. And then when he got pegged in the back of the head by Dragic, that was the same thing. Like, there was no retaliation.
No.
Is that Brett Brown, or is it the fact that Ben Simmons is still technically a rookie and almost, yes, he's very confident, but at the same time, I know when I was a rookie, I was focused on being seen and not heard. I was focused on not doing anything outside the set parameters of the team. I was focused on not being an individual in any way. I wanted to do what was right, and that's it.
I thought it was a lot up until the end what you said. I don't think it's that last part. That's just my opinion. I think
rookies are.
Yeah, but here's what I think it is.
Okay.
I think it's two things. One, I think you're not going to get inside my head. I'm not going to let it show you bother me. I'm jumping right back up. I think that's one part
of it. It showed a lot of toughness.
It did. But I also think
also a reservedness.
And this is wise. Without knowing, I would be essentially certain that Brett Brown over the last 2 weeks has told these guys are coming after us. They're mm-hmm. coming after you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen series where the series changes because one guy takes a step on the court and he gets suspended for the next game. I saw P.J. Brown, flip Charlie Ward or whoever it was, Chris Childs, and the whole series flipped because a fight happened and this guy, got like, hey, guys, Ben, you're better than Dragic. You can't get thrown out of the game and suspended for the next game. You can't. So are you going to have to take some stuff and let it roll off your back? Yeah, that's what you're going to have to do because we need you and we're trying to go to the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. I think that is great coaching. Again, I'm just guessing, but obviously Brett Brown has addressed the guys and said, hey, guys, they're coming after us. You can't swing back.
Right.
That's why I feel at some point, and Justin Anderson provided some of this.
It's less likely that Ben Simmons, in his current incarnation, the rookie Ben Simmons, is going to make a big deal out of that sort of thing than Ben Simmons 5 years from now.
Yeah, see, I look at it like, here's the way I look at it, like baseball. We all know the easiest way to get a batter out of the game is to plunk him in a way that is going to charge the mound. It's guaranteed. You charge the mound, he's gone. Like Mike Piazza wasn't thrown out of that game. I thought Roger Clemens should have been in the World Series in 2000. I thought Piazza did the right thing showing restraint. He's their star player. And I thought Piazza should have been kept, staying in the game. Clemens should have been thrown out. But they didn't throw out Clemens. The way I look at it is Simmons and Embiid at this stage can't retaliate. Next year in December, you want to throw an elbow, take a one-game suspension? You can do that. You can do that. But not now. Not mm-hmm. those guys. Justin Anderson, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
The 12th guy, if he gets in there, maybe. Sure, go for it.
Because there's more to come.
Oh, yes.
Assuming we play the Celtics in particular, there's more to come.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, 888-729-9494. Mike in Mullica Hill. Mike, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I really wanted to get in when Ray was there. Ray, you are a legend.
Indeed.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I hear you all the time. You have so much knowledge. It's just, you like a caller earlier said, you add some class to the show. And, Joe can use all he can help. He has no style.
I think you're being a little harsh.
No,
these guys have got plenty of class. But what are your thoughts on the draft?
Well, on the draft, I think them going for the best guy available should be what they do. Because it really, like you were saying, there's really no what they need. There's not available this year because the draft is iffy as it is. So if they go with the best guy available, to give themselves some depth, that should, just help strengthen the team because the team is pretty strong as it is,
Yeah, well, here's the thing. There will be, I guarantee you, there's going to be a good running back sitting there at 32. I guarantee you that. It would not be a huge shock to me if after Barkley comes off the board where I think he's going to come off at 2 and go to the Giants. I still think that's the scenario. You might not have another running back pick the whole first round.
Mm.
I mean, you might have your choice of every running back in this class, with the exception of Barkley. And if you're the Eagles and you're looking at that kind of possibility, you got some good players there. I mean, I think it's something they got to think about.
All right, Mike, best movie quote. What is it?
Oh, best movie quote for me. I'm not going to take the winner. So, well, we're going, kid. We don't need roads.
Oh, yeah. Back mm-hmm. to the Future. I like that. Ray, let me ask you a question when we talk about the backs. John and I both feel pretty strong on this, but not everyone does. I believe Corey Clement can be a feature back in the future for this franchise. That was a lot of Fs. Feature back, future franchise.
Mm-hmm.
We know modern-day NFL, a lot of, in and out, shuttling packages. And so there's always going to be a second back that plays.
Mm-hmm.
But he might play, less than a feature back. Where do you come down as you project Corey Clement in 2019, in 2020? Like, do they need to get someone else because he won't be good enough, Corey Clement? Or do you believe Corey Clement can actually be the man once Jay Ajayi is perhaps out of here?
The man in the way that Le'Veon Bell is?
I'm not saying he's got to be one of the top three running backs in football, but can he be a top 10 running back in football?
I hope people don't take this as criticism, because it's not. I really like Corey Clement. I was shocked he wasn't drafted last year. I was delighted that the Eagles signed him, and I wasn't surprised by what he contributed. I think he is a legit good player. But I see his NFL viability as part of a partnership. I see him as a committee back, you know, a guy that's part of either a two or a three man set where you spot him, you give him, you know, I think he can be a 20 touch guy. I just don't know.
That's a lot. 20 touch is not exactly committee.
Your back's going to need to give you more than that. I mean, you're going to need more than that if you're combining rushes and pass receptions. No, I think he can be a very good second guy, but I think you need the big guy. I think you need a guy who's going to be the home run hitter. And I think that's why I keep coming back to Michelle. I think Michelle can come into the NFL and be that kind of back. And a partnership of, a Michelle and a Clement, I think that would work really well. I think that would work really well. And to be frank, Michelle, if you looked at his career at Georgia, that's really what he was. I mean, he and Chubb were rotation backs. So he can handle that. He doesn't have to be the guy. He can handle the idea of sharing the load. He's already shown he can do it in college. I think he could do it here. But I like Clement a lot, but I don't see him as kind of the role that you're describing. I see him as more of a part of a good back by committee approach.
Okay. All right, Ray, we do what we do here. John and I near this portion of the show at times where we turn to. Want to get as many callers on quickly, try to answer the question. In this case, best movie quote of all time. We're going to rapid fire through our callers here. Right to best movie quote of all time. Dennis, returning to, what's the best movie quote ever?
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Mm-hmm. What movie is it?
Apocalypse Now.
Okay, Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, I've heard the quote.
Aww.
I've seen the movie. I didn't remember the quote. Didn't remember the movie of the quote. Ryan, which quote you got?
It's not about how hard you hit. It's about how you can get hit and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
And then Jason Kelsey quoted it after the Super Bowl on the field. I like it, Ryan. Good answer. Jordan, best movie quote ever.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
Yes.
Jordan, that's good. Ray, what'd you think of it's one of the great movies, right? Silence of the Lambs?
Sure is.
Yeah. It's really terrific. Also, the only movie I think in the last 40 or so years, maybe even 50, best actor, best actress, and Academy Award for Best Picture.
Yes.
The trifecta, which is very rare.
Very rare.
And
I think I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And I think Jonathan Demme won for director.
He did. It won all four.
It was like a clean sweep, yeah.
All right, we go to Jerry. Jerry, returning to, what's the best movie quote ever?
Yeah, James said this wasn't said, which surprised me. It's probably said a million times a day. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Ooh, man.
Right?
Mm-hmm. I tell you, it's got a shot. Offer he can't refuse. Good one, Colin. Best movie quote ever. What is it?
May the force be with you.
Okay, it's phenomenal. It's already also been said, but it's a great one. Andrew, best movie quote ever.
Do or do not, there is no try.
Wow. That's Yoda.
A good one. Yeah.
It's another good one.
I don't know what to do today.
Yeah, Ray, this is going to be a tough one. We may need your wisdom to choose. I mean, man, there is no try. Holy smokes. Why are you playing that right now, Sasha?
I meant it because Ray went, so I meant that, and I fat-fingered it.
Hey, play the new cut for Ray.
Not while
he hasn't
Ray's
heard
in
it.
Studio. This is inappropriate.
I'll be the judge of that.
You will understand quickly why this is inappropriate.
I can't get it up.
we probably would have been better off unsaid.
I mean, John, this is the distinguished Hall of Famer, Ray Diddinger.
And I sort of asked for it, so I've only myself to blame.
All right, Ray, we heard earlier. Best of all time. We heard the Bond, James Bond.
Yes.
More iconic, Bond, James Bond, or Seltzer, James Seltzer.
It's okay to say the Bond one.
Yeah. I'm going to go 007 on that one.
That's a good choice.
Don't take it personally, James.
I don't at all.
Ray, this weekend, of course, on the air a lot, and also the show Delaware Park, right?
That's correct, and I believe Mr. Ritchie might be joining us.
Yes.
Very nice. Very nice.
Looking forward to it.
We'll be sharing in his expertise on Saturday.
Well,
I look forward to that.
Ray, I look forward to listening to you more than John, but that's just my opinion.
me too.
Ray, who are the Eagles going to get?
I think it's at least as likely they're going to trade out. I hope they don't, but I think that that's a very real possibility. But if they stay put and they take a player, I'm going to stick with Sony Michel.
All right, there it is. You heard it from Ray. Got it last year right with Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
Time's yours. We react to the Sixers advancing and what other things Time's yours has react to. It's all up ahead. Time's yours. Hey, Ray, thank you in studio.
Thanks, pleasure.
Ray. We look forward to next week, of course, recapping all this.
Yep.
And charging forward with the Sixers. It is special, Ray, what they're doing.
It sure is.
I mean, they are legit. They are legit.
And they're, boy, they're fun to watch.
Fun.
They are fun to watch.
And that's not going to change.
No.
Like, Doc was always fun. Barkley was always fun. AI was always fun. Ben and Joe are always going to be fun.
Yep.
Those guys are just going to be fun to watch for many years to come. Time's yours is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.